Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Big Gay Date with me, Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeens.
And joining us this week, we have our good friend, Mr. Brian Bindman.
Hello, hello, hello.
And we are here to watch the... When was this movie?
1988.
1988. Okay. Yes. The Walt Disney live-action animation classic, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's so much better than Space Jam.
Mm-hmm. God, that was episode 4.
So much better.
We've been lamenting it ever since.
Oh yeah,
we should have watched Roger Rabbit instead.
This was a classy cartoon commercial for every other motion picture studio in town, as opposed to Space Jam, which was a giant McDonald's, Nike Warner Brothers commercial. You remember those? All the kids were wearing those t-shirts with the Warner Brothers characters, and they were all acting tough, like they were dressed up in like motorcycle gangs.
Oh yeah, or like Bugs sagging his pants and wearing like a backwards baseball cap.
Exactly, yeah. They're like, we're going to be hip with the kids. What else is hip? Michael Jordan. And let's get McDonald's in there. Why not?
Okay, let's where do we start with this? What the hell are we doing here? So Big Gay Date is an audio commentary for movies that we had nothing to do with. We're going to talk over classic movies, just a bunch of guys watching a movie and just talking about their big gay feelings
and drinking
very heavily in order to make it more entertaining for you. And this week, this drink, which we've all taken a little sip of, it's okay.
It's I very tried heavy. It yet. What is it?
Oh, you haven't tried it? Oh,
no.
Well, I'm calling it the dip.
Oh, you bitch.
It's got turpentine, acetone, and benzene.
No, it's just very citrusy. Lemon Bacardi, lemonade, sweet and sour mix. Yeah, it does that to your face. Yeah.
It's bright and colorful, just like most of this film.
Yeah. But.
Well, that actually disappoints me now.
Why is that?
Because I
Oh,
have a,
your shot is going to be something
shot.
Similar?
Yeah.
Well, let me just really drill it home, because wait for this. I asked Brian to pick up some cotton candy.
Oh, shit. Oh, are we going to dissolve cotton candy?
We're
going to
drop it in the dip.
Yeah.
I was telling him, I was like, are we making Roger Rabbit cottontails? And he was like, damn, that's good.
That is good. But no, I just wanted really, this is all for us here. Like, this does not translate to audio, but I just want to watch this happen if we dip it into the dip. Like
oh,
the screaming
no, it
shoe.
I can hear it crying.
Now this is gonna taste.
And now it's
so,
green.
Yeah.
It's dip color. It's dip colored.
Ooh, still no sweeter, but my God. But that was fun to do. as Carl's alluded to, if this is your first time listening, we also pick our favorite moments of the movie, and we're just gonna take a shot in order to just speed the hijinks along. So,
Is it every? I was supposed to come up with a couple? Or?
No.
You pick one favorite part. One I pick one. Part.
There's three of us, and that's going to be plenty. Because this movie's only like an hour 40.
Excellent.
I think this drink's going to do most of the work, honestly. But okay, so your shot is a dip. Do you want to tell us what's in it? Or?
Yes, it is. There's some Reposado tequila in it, because I like you. There's silver tequila in it, because I hate you. And I also put in some triple sec and some lime juice. And a as yet to be determined ingredient that kind of ties it all together and makes a dip green.
Okay. Are you just going to find that in my kitchen or something?
No. We'll see how it looks. I just kind of threw shit together in the dark.
It sounds like what's left in my bar. Like,
oh, but it's...
The night after a party when you're cleaning up all the beer bottles.
It
and the
smells
and shit like
really good. It also smells like fucking tequila.
Okay.
So
and we know
see.
How that goes.
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt, but coming up here is a great actual little cameo. It's film producer Joel Silver, shaved off his beard. Apparently, Michael Eisner hated him, so they had to sneak him on set. He wasn't on the roll call sheets.
What was he
and
producer of? What did he...
He's done so many. I think... I don't
like
even want to
like...
name anything, because I feel like I'll be like really incorrect, but just... A lot of top action movies that you know.
Yeah, 80s action movies, like, but not like the over-the-top Arnold Schwarzenegger ones, more like the smarter kind of Lethal Weapons or something.
I want to say Lethal Weapon, But Eisner hated him, and they stuck him on the set, changed his look. He was off the roll sheets, and apparently they talked to Eisner afterwards, and he was like, he did pretty good.
That guy's great. Yeah.
This is such a cool scene, like, just to show, like, what's outside the frame for all those cartoons that they used to make, like...
Mm-hmm.
Just the transition from, like, real... from the cartoon world to the real props.
Yeah.
And subliminally, the film ends with...
Well, don't spoil the ending.
Right, I'm sorry. For
no,
people
if you
who
are
haven't
watching
seen
this,
it in like 20
yeah,
years.
You should not be watching this for the first time.
Obviously.
Speaking of that subject matter, that's my favorite part is the big like scene between Eddie Valiant and Roger in Eddie's apartment.
Okay,
because so many things happen in that, like, behind the scenes as far as making Roger Rabbit do shit.
So much physical interaction between the cartoon character and everything in that fucking apartment, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. I'll spoil it now. My favorite scene is the other one in the bar, with the bar fight and everything.
With the plate breaking?
Same fucking reason, yeah. Uh-huh. Like,
oh, that's amazing.
So many just like, neat little, every little thing
so
that they thought
fly,
of.
Papers fly,
you know?
Like, tables fall over, all that sort of thing.
And it's like, yeah, you're right. In the fucking in his apartment, when they're like, he's like grabbing his shirt and shit. It's just so fucking clever. Like, didn't Robert Zemeckis produce this or something?
Yes.
Because he has when he does a film, he has a knack for detail. Like, Back to the Future level, like, care put into every little thing that you would not really notice, except it's just all together and it just builds the one picture that just so believable.
And he's piloting, like, not only a live-action movie, but also an animated movie, because everything needed to be shot for this. Mm. And then he had to look over the animations aspects as they were optically putting in all the cartoon characters and whatnot. And it's a special effects-heavy movie with what you said before, so...
Now, were they drawing this at the same time, or did they shoot the film and then layer all the animation
They
on?
Shot the film and laid out... all the animation over it, so...
How long does that take, you think? How long did this... What was the gap between this movie finished shooting and actually getting released?
I would assume there's a bunch of planning that goes in as far as... Like, because you have to, like, plan all these shots with the animation in mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Otherwise, it'd be a lot harder than it should be.
And what happens when you don't plan it is you get films like Space Jam and Looney Tunes back in action.
God. Yeah, we'll just pretend that never happened.
It's so cool. Every little, like... Every time the actor's glance kind of, you know, wavers from what their line should be, the characters react. Like, they move around to kind of stay in their eye line and shit. It's such a nice little detail that just really sells.
There's a later scene where, Bob Hoskins hit a lamp, and the lamp's going back and forth. Mm. And they had to... go back and put all the shadows in on Roger as if the light was going. And it became an industry term called bump the lamp, where you just put in that extra effort that the audience won't notice.
I have heard that term now, and I guess it's interesting to hear where that came from. Thanks for coming on, man.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Learning so much already. We're 5 minutes in. I won't say, my shot's going to be like a whiskey or something since it features so heavily in this movie. what's your favorite moment since we're just getting all out in the air here?
You know, I love all the comedy aspects of this film, and honestly, like, I wanted to cop out and say, like, the whole film is my favorite moment, but I was thinking about it, and one of the most poignant scenes later is when Eddie is ready to go into Toontown. Mm-hmm. To find Judge Doom, and he goes to drink his bottle, and he does what I would not do, which is look at it and pours it out. Mm. It's a nice little emotional arc that I always forget about, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a, you know, that's the arc of the character right there.
Yeah. So, like, so many little things, just like the brooms with the brooms. It's like, if you're a fan of Disney and Warner Bros. Or just animation in general, this is just a treasure trove of little jokes for you.
And it will never happen again. Mm-hmm. Like, Wreck-It Ralph came a little bit in the crossover realm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's they could have got, like, Sonic and Mario in the same scene. Like, that's when we're on the same level.
Oh, yeah, that's when we're on the same level. Who knows? Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming out soon, so we'll see.
I mean, the trailer looks all right.
I'm psyched for it, actually. Yeah, it looks
really
fun.
The pop-ups were funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, obviously, that little bunny game. Bunny gets the pancakes.
I keep forgetting, like, that Bob Hoskins died a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So it's...
This
was the first thing I saw him in, and it took me until I saw him doing, like, television commercials for British Telecom, like a phone company, that he was a British actor.
Yeah.
Like, his accent is so fucking good, and it's kind of like he's playing up that 50s, like, you know, film noir accents and everything, but it's so convincing
Did he have the accent in Hook? I couldn't tell.
No, he's like...
Because he was Smee.
Yeah, he's Smee. He's like...
He's fictional...
Who's Smee? Smee, 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 Smee. Yeah, Smee. He's like... He's a British guy there, but... But yeah, this was, I don't know, when this was 80, I was in 86, this was 88, and Hook was like 93 or something. So like for the first 7 years of my life, until I realized that that was the same guy, I thought this guy was
American.
Oh,
don't forget Super Mario Brothers in there, too.
Oh, God.
I'd never noticed that before, but all those little kids on that trolley just told him, "Hey, mister, thanks for the cigarettes." And he's like, "No problem, kid."
Yeah, he's kind of an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's very much an anti. He's a drunk smoker who doesn't pay his bills. You just saw, like, here.
And here we have this is the start of the Cloverfield franchise, the Cloverleaf company.
Uh-huh.
It's all connected.
It's a great kids movie about commercialization and industrialization and
murder
in 1940s Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that's why it was released under touchdown.
Affairs between men and rabbits.
Dogs and cats living together. Okay, that's...
So when's the last time you guys saw this movie? Like, in its entirety? This is one of those films I've meant
probably
to watch.
Probably a month ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I will... I work on artwork and stuff like that, so a lot of times I will throw on a familiar movie that I do not have to watch. And this one...
Just background noise while you're working.
Mm. And honestly, I can play the movie in my head as I'm listening to it, so, you know.
I feel like the last time I watched it was with you. I feel like I got...
We've never watched this movie, I swear to God.
I swear we have.
No, the last time I saw even a bit of this movie was when I was very... Excuse me, very, very drunk in the UK. I went out on the night of town with some friends, and we went back to their place. I crashed on their couch. It was like 4 or 5 a.m., and I just like was like, I want to put something on to fall asleep to. I threw on this movie. I got to the part where Judge Doom is introduced, and he's like dipping the shoe in the dip, and I was like, I know where this goes. Like, the final scene where his eyes start bugging out and he starts talking a lot. I was like, I don't want to deal with this in like an hour. I just turned it off. I was like, can't do
it's
it.
Too much for you.
Because this whole week I've been having deja vu about this.
Oh, really? Doing this movie already?
Yeah, it feels
this
like
is 52 episodes. It feels like we should be at the point where we're kind of looping ourselves or lapping each other.
I was surprised when I mentioned this. Like, you weren't like, oh, we've already done that.
Well, we have done a handful, though we've just gotten too drunk and just couldn't use them.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought this was.
Yeah, 52.
Let me tell you about this.
No, but seriously.
I don't know why I'm talking with a Western accent. Western is my drunk, I guess.
Yeah. No, this we have never watched this movie together. This is our first time.
Aw.
We have been talking about it for like 2 years now since Space Jam. So.
I guess.
It's so sad because this was such a landmark film, and the character took off in popularity, but because it's half owned by Spielberg and half owned by Disney, they got into some quibbles over what the next Roger Rabbit short is going to be put in front of which movie. Mm. I think Spielberg worked with Amblin. No, Spielberg is Amblin. Amblin worked with Touchstone on Arachnophobia, and they wanted Roger Rabbit to be in front of that.
I mean, I get studio synergy and everything, but where's the correlation between a short like Roger Rabbit in front of a movie?
Well,
like
you have to remember that back in the 90s, you added a short to the front of a movie. It like boosted attendance.
Oh, I know. It still does that.
Like, and it still does that, unless it's Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
Yeah. Which everyone's like, take it off the fucking
take
flick.
It off. That was not a short. That was a mini feature.
Fucking 30 minutes. That was ridiculous. You hear about that? That was in front of Coco, and everyone turns up to Coco like 10 minutes late thinking they've missed the trailer, is ready to watch the movie, and then they're stuck with another 35-minute fucking short Olaf film.
Holy shit.
I just think, I think back then... Disney was a little bit more forthright, you know. They pissed off Jim Henson Company. They pissed off Spielberg. They pissed off a lot of people.
Swinging the balls around a little too
much. Exactly. So
here's our first scene with Warner Brothers and Disney together.
Yes, the infamous Daffy Duck and Donald Duck scene. I love the fact that Warner Brothers was like, "Yeah, cool, we'll be on board," but they both have to be on scene at the same time. They both have to have the same amount of lines. Yeah. Like, nobody got an extra consonant or vowel in there.
I feel like in the Bugs Bunny Mickey Mouse scene, I feel like Bugs Bunny has the better lines. Like, that's more his scene.
Well, yeah, he's a sarcastic ass. Yeah. Of course he's going to have the one-upsmanship.
Yeah, Mickey's,
you know,
just kind of just there. He kind of loses out. But I don't know who my favorite is in this scene. They're both really cool. But you know what I'm noticing? I mean, I'm noticing that even though we're watching like the HD version and everything, this movie, the animation does look dated. And I would love to see them go... This would be a movie I'd be very interested to see them go in and remaster the animation. Like,
Remove some of the awkward shadows and...
Imagine like drawing brand new animation for every single fucking scene.
Oh my goodness.
Like that would... It's almost sacrilege, but I'm curious to see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. To remaster this movie in like, you know, 4K resolution, clean up all the dirt, and... Put a fucking
I love
true
this pun, and I never
modern
got it
animation
until
looking penguin
I was
in.
Until I was much older when he comes back with the glass with the rock in it. Bum, 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 dum.
Now, scenes like this, what a boring fucking movie to shoot.
Oh my goodness. You just have two pianos on stage and they open up. Yeah. As most of the actors had said, they were either working on either green screen or they were staring at a Roger Rabbit dummy on a stick. apparently, Charles Fleischer, who does the voice of Roger, was on set in a full bunny costume.
Roger Rabbit outfit. Yes. But was he actually in the scene? Like,
No. He wouldn't be on the scene. He would be standing off to the side of the camera doing all the lines. Mm. And obviously, when he went to lunch, everyone would be like, "You guys see this Roger Rabbit movie? That looks like a huge piece of crap. Yeah. Look at that. I can't believe that. I'm going to put that on screen." And lo and behold...
See, I'd like to see scenes of him doing that fucking, like, going full Andy Serkis.
There is some, like, I don't know, I've seen clips of it, and it looks just like a Roger Rabbit suit, except with his face cut out.
I want to see that movie. I want to see Charles Fleischer.
I think Charles
in
Fleischer,
a rabbit outfit.
He was an interesting cat. I don't know too many of his credits, but if you're familiar with the Back to the Future series, he was in part two as the old man who goes, "I wish I could go back in time, put some money on the cubbies." That's Charles Fleischer in old man makeup.
Does he pop up again in like the young in like 1955 or anything?
I'm not sure.
It's like when they usually in that movie when they'd put people in old age makeup, it's because they'd put them as their younger ancestors in.
It was in Back to the Future 2 in the future scene.
Oh no,
so,
but then he goes into
1955
later in there. Is he fucking floating around
in
the background?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's been a while since I've watched that one, even though that one's
like
my favorite.
Seems like a Zemeckis thing to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we watched Space Jam, you said that Lonely Bunny looked like Natalie Dormer. Who does Jessica Rabbit look like? And did you ever want to fuck her?
No. Definitely wanted to have sex with Lola Bunny. Would still have sex with Lola Bunny.
Despite the fact that she is actually a bunny and this is a
and
this
is an actual human being.
Yeah,
well, not an actual, but yeah.
Look at those super strange proportions. Like, the fact that she's tall doesn't bother me, but like...
The fact that thin waist balanced out by a well-endowed bosom and backside.
It looks like I could put my watch around that waist.
Well, she was definitely modeled after Tex Avery, who, if you've ever seen the Wolf, the Wolf cartoons, you know the ones I'm talking about. And I never noticed this, but I guess to compensate for... her physical form, they made sure that when she bounced, it was the opposite. So if somebody hit, if it was hit one way, it would bounce the actual opposite way that it should. It's really weird.
Now
I was
I'm just
like,
gonna
I
look,
was like,
now yeah. I'm just going to look at her boobs all.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome, gents.
I
mean, they're still
that.
Cartoon boobs, but
I didn't know why, but now I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we found a cartoon you didn't want to fuck. All right,
yeah, it's not my thing.
Yeah. Is that the theme?
There seems to be Lola.
Who else?
Lola Bunny. That's it.
Lola Bunny. That's
I
it.
I never wanted to fuck the SWAT cats or anything like that. Like,
Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah, nobody? It was just Lola Bunny.
Wasn't there a girl on Cowboys of Moo Mesa? I don't know. Eddie Valiant, you perv.
It's his job.
I guess this is a director trademark, peeking through a keyhole. I never picked that up, but I guess that was noted.
Where does that happen in... like Back to the Future and well no wait who directed this was it Robert Zemeckis
it was Robert Zemeckis
but he didn't
yeah.
direct the animation did he
I don't think but he had to oversee it with sure. It going into the actual final film but obviously they have animation directors for all that.
That's fair.
That is a big fucking gorilla.
Yeah, prominent. Definitely think he's been one of those Warner Brothers cartoons.
Do you remember when Daffy Duck... Do you have the Batman VHS?
Like the original 1989 one?
Yeah, yeah. It had Daffy Duck at the beginning of it. Daffy Duck selling Batman merchandise.
I can see that.
Baseball hats and t-shirts and...
I think we... Because that... Actually, going back a second, that is one of the movies we tried to watch for Big Gay Date that was we wound up getting way too drunk and it
the
was unbearable.
The 1989 Batman.
The original Batman. Nice. And I think we did get through to the end and I think fucking Daffy Duck pops up in the credits or something to do the same sort of thing.
Well, I mean, they're both owned by Warner Brothers and I remember...
Makes sense.
There was actually... there was a McDonald's playset for a while that had all your favorite Looney Tunes characters as DC heroes and ooh. Daffy Duck was Batman. The Taz was Flash. I don't remember what Bugs was, but
because of course Taz was Flash.
Of course. What else?
Not fucking Speedy Gonzalez?
No. Racist. He sleeps with our sisters. Exactly. He sleeps with all our sisters. Stereotypical.
I remember at the beginning of Gremlins 2, a new batch. Fucking Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck are there. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just you can slap them where you can.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got their own fucking movies to rely on, like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. They can't.
Do you remember
Prince
the store?
And the Pauper with Bugs Bunny, they don't give a fuck.
You remember the store? Disney had a Disney store for a while, and then Warner Brothers had a Warner Brothers store.
I went to the one in New York. Were there any others?
No, they did like pop up in quite a few malls. Okay. And they were around for a good while, and then they died out.
I remember going on the one in New York... God, 1990s, they had a 3D simulator. 3D simulator? Yeah,
really?
Like Duck Dodgers in the 21st and a half, whatever the fuck it is, you know.
Get out of town!
Yeah, there was a full-on like 3D ride or something inside. And
I've heard about a lot of things, but I've not heard about this.
No.
I had to look that up.
I had a fucking collectible coin from that ride back in UK. It's probably long gone now. But, God, I've forgotten all about those stores.
So we're at the scene where Roger just... drank a fifth of yeah and it turns into a giant steam whistle and apparently I guess some alcohol company asked to be visible on the bottle and they obviously it's Disney and they said but by the way he turned into a giant steam whistle and they were like we don't care we want our name on the bottle.
So like we'll pay $100,000 to get our face. Well,
get our face on that.
You should probably see it. He turns into a steam whistle. Fine, $200,000. Just make it happen. That's what you're going to look like in a few minutes, Carl.
Oh, God. I'm worried about, you know, I was worried about...
You were digging
about
on the string for like all of 10 minutes, and now you seem to really be behind everyone else. Fucking Brian's beating me. Holy crap.
Oh, God.
Sorry, it tastes really good.
And I'm not driving home, so...
I'm riding home. It's not the same thing. I can totally just go slower and call it a day.
And you can't apply that. You can't apply that to drinking, though, Carl. You need to.
And that is still hanging at Disney's Hollywood Studios currently.
Whereabouts?
It's right above the
mom and pop. The
Five and Dime Diner. Okay. It's that. There's an Eddie Valiant detective agency window right next to it.
Nice.
The shade's seen better days. It's lost a few blinds, but it's still you can still tell
what it's supposed to be.
They still have the billboard there. A lot of Roger Rabbit stuff has been lost from Disney Studios.
You didn't grow up in Orlando, did you?
No, I grew up in Massachusetts, actually.
But you've been here a long time.
I've
been a big fan of the theme parks.
Been here since 05, but I've been coming down since I was a little kid, so.
Do you remember going to, it might be just a figment of my imagination, but I swear at one point in Hollywood Studios, they had the big machine from the end of this movie.
Yes, they did.
Okay, like as it had kind of burst through a wall or something, right?
Yes.
At the Backlot Tour.
Right around, yeah, that's right, yeah.
They had it shooting water. They had a whole section where you got off the tram, and it was called Looney Bin.
Yeah!
They had the steamroller from it. You could take your picture lying down. I have my picture lying down in front of that.
I think I have one as well.
They have a hole.
Did it have like a carved out like hole in the floor that you stood in or something?
I don't remember that. I remember it had a lot of bricks in front of it.
Okay, and you just had to kind of like lay it down as if it was about to roll
exactly.
over or something. Okay.
They also had a Jessica Rabbit cutout. They had a Roger Rabbit hole in the wall, which you could put your face through or whatnot. They had a bunch of different props, and some of them lasted even after, I think it was when they turned it into the Goosebumps Funhouse.
God, I remember that for a hot second.
Yeah, I didn't go in.
I was a big fan of Goosebumps as a kid.
But they removed a bunch of the Roger Rabbit props during that, and then I was so mad because when they paved that whole section for Star Wars Land, apparently I found out that the hole for Roger Rabbit was still there, but they just put it behind shelves, and you could still kind of like find where it was. And I was like,
"So wait, Valiant saved Huey, Dewey, and Louie from the kidnapping?"
Yes, yeah.
They've had their little. They've been the unsung heroes in all of these stories with all your classic characters and shit. Like.
Do you remember the Ninja Turtle show at MGM?
Yes. Oh yes.
Do you try and forget that, too?
They've tried a bunch of different shows for like a few months at a time over there, haven't they?
They own the Power Rangers, too.
Yeah, they had the Power Rangers show for a bit.
All right, this upsets me. This guy is great, whoever plays his detective fan friend. And I was sad to hear because he's got a great line where he goes, "The rabbit cacked him last night." And I thought that was such a great term, and apparently he just made it up. It's not a 1920s or 30s term.
Oh, really?
And I think I distinctly remember me using that.
There
and,
it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Cacked.
Although I put a C in front of it, like cacked.
Yeah.
Even direct. He just replied, "What?
What?"
He's like, "That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing." Here we go, another famous appearance by a Warner Brothers character, Yosemite Sam.
Do planes not exist in this Hollywood?
You think Toontown is a no-fly zone?
Yeah, what happens when you fly over there?
Oh, no, I think you just see this brightly colored bulb bulging buildings and clouds and stuff like this. Yosemite Sam, actually not voiced by Mel Blanc at this point because he was 70 years old. I forget the name of the voice actor who took over, but he voices other characters in this film, just not the Yosemite Sam.
Does he do Bugs Bunny, or is that Billy West?
I think it might be Mel Blanc who does Bugs. He just couldn't do the
gruff,
the gruff, you know. I mean, you had June Foray, who did a bunch of voices in here, and it was her first time voicing for like a live action film in like years. Here we go. The great setup for the end. Portable hole. I could use that. I love this.
We're seeing all these little gags that are going to come back for the end of the movie.
There used to be Ellie Valiant, or did you change your name to Jack Daniels?
Comedy was easier back then.
Yeah, it was much easier. It's funny because like I said, this guy, character actor, can't remember his name. He janitor in Beetlejuice. He's done a bunch of little bit part there.
Uh-huh.
And it's killing me. I can't remember his name, but he's always the squeamish older guy, you know.
Mm.
Oh,
look at those red shoes. Kicks him right in the nuts. And the first appearance by Christopher Lloyd as Judge Doom, who was actually supposed to, I guess he was supposed to have a vulture, an animated vulture on his shoulder.
Why did they turn that down, I wonder?
Probably cost-effective.
Difficulty.
Yeah. The movie was already over budget. It did make it into an action figure that was a bendable action figure with a vulture. And I guess he was supposed to have 7 weasel assistants, not just 4, 5?
Is that a reference to 7 dwarfs?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm amazed because years later someone said he doesn't blink in any of his scenes. And I was like,
well,
there was
I
always
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it just that there's always something. I mean, Christopher Lloyd is a great character actor.
Oh, yeah.
He always puts everything into it. But there was always one thing that always bothered me about Judge Doom. And I was like, I don't know what it is.
Huh.
I love that car. It was on display at the Backlot Express at Hollywood Studios. I have not seen it in a few months, though. I do not know where they put it. But the shout out to whoever was in charge of maintaining it, because they would replace that Toon Patrol sticker on the side every few months, because it would get scraped off, and that would come back, and they would redo it.
Huh.
I think they also have the Benny the Cab go-kart car, which Bob Hoskins would sit in, and they would animate Benny.
Okay.
I think that is still there. It's hanging up somewhere pretty unceremoniously. There's no photos or plaque or anything like that, but Backlot Express, it's right in between the Indiana Jones stunt show and the Star Tours.
They still have the refrigerator and shit from Dinosaur back there.
Probably.
Right, because they used to have that shit up on, like,
the
Rocketeer pack and shit. Mm-hmm.
The Rocketeer pack is apparently in an, what is it? It's like a soda fountain place. It's right by Echo Lagoon. It's actually right below that Maroon Cartoon Studios sign. Yeah. I can tell you a bunch of stuff about Disney Hollywood Studios and the plans for Roger Rabbit. I guess before Rock and Roller Coaster and all that was built, there was going to be a whole Roger Rabbit section that was planned when the character was really at the height of its popularity. There was going to be a simulator ride. This was, I don't know if this was pre or post Star Tours, but it was going to be called Toontown Trolley, and there's concept art of it. Basically, guests would board a bus, and they would take you on a similar tour of Toontown, and Roger Rabbit would be either your guide or involved some way, and he would come crashing through the roof of the car at one point, and it would imprint.
Nice.
Just like, you know, an Acme gag. There was a Baby Herman ride, as we serendipitously come on his first appearance in this. Baby Herman buggy ride. It was going to be like a Mr. Toad dark ride based on Tummy Trouble.
Of course, which is the first short that came after this, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there was some backlash when they announced that because people were like, well, you can't set a ride inside of a hospital. That's insensitive. and then I guess another idea was Roller Coaster Rabbit, which was it was just going to be a big wooden roller coaster. The only thing that ever got built was Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin, which is in Disneyland. You can still visit it
today. I was going to say, there is some kind of like Toontown stuff
At Disneyland, yes. Yeah. Disneyland. You always get some of the cool stuff. Not like a cigar-smoking baby.
Does he push him down the stairs or something?
He almost pushes him down the stairs. It's a Disney film.
Yeah. Oh, but he's fucking smoking and slapping asses and shit. And that's...
That's why it's so funny that Roger Rabbit was retroactively brought into the Disney canon. Mm.
Who technically owns him? Is it Disney?
It's half Disney, half Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
And that's why you only see
so
merchandise.
He could, like, he, technically, I guess, like, could he pop up in, like, Ready Player One or something? Like, if Spielberg really wants something, like, him to be in something, could he just say, it's mine?
I think he could, but Steven said that he does not want anything that he had his hand in to be in Ready Player One.
Oh,
so.
No, just as an example, though. Yeah.
But yeah, he
can just like, fuck it, it's mine, I can do what I want.
Possibly, but I think Disney would also have to sign off, and considering that, I think, is Universal releasing it?
Ready Player One?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
I should know that.
Wild Turkey has been on the screen for like way longer than I expected.
Yeah, I really should have. I didn't pick Wild Turkey as my liquor, kind of thinking I should have now.
I'm glad you didn't.
Either... Wild Turkey or Scotch? Or is Wild Turkey is Scotch? I'm not much of an alcoholic.
Not a connoisseur, no. Yeah. I'm not much of an alcoholic either, Carl.
I know alcohol. I just don't know my liquor.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This is my moment.
Oh.
That's your moment?
My time to shine, right. Boys.
Sorry, Brian. What was your favorite moment again?
I'm going to go with him dumping the alcohol out. It always just gets me.
Yeah. With you.
Yeah. We're at the point where Eddie has come home, gets into bed, and then Roger pops out. The deli man, the butcher man, he didn't know, but the liquor store guy, he knew.
Again, just one of those gags that just goes over your head as a kid, I
exactly,
think.
Exactly. Of course, like, when I think I saw this when I had to be at least 8 when this movie came out.
I was 2 when this movie came out.
Really?
So, yeah. I saw it, I guess, early 90s, you know, 5 or 6 years old, I guess.
I remember my parents brought me to see this.
Oh, one second.
I don't know.
Carry the show by yourself, right?
Yeah, sure, no problem. We have Eddie diving back and forth. Apparently, he was not the number one pick to be... Bob Hoskins was not the number one pick to be Eddie Valiant, but he was probably the cheapest.
Does anybody know who he was before this?
I forgot that third glass.
I don't. I was reading up, and there was a lot of people who said that they were considered for the role, but it's one of those things. It's like, do we really know if this was it? I had heard Bill Murray was a name they tossed around, and I guess when he found out, he was in some cafe, and he screamed because he would have definitely said yes.
Oh man!
But I think I don't know. If Bill Murray would have worked for this, because
I think 80s Bill Murray would have been okay.
Yeah, but he would have had this like weird aloof. That's the thing with Bill Murray, is that he has this weird aloof nature where it's like everything is happening around him and he's not affected.
Okay.
By anything, yeah. And in this movie, you have to be affected. You have to be invested in characters that aren't there, fictional things that are happening that are not really happening. Yeah. You know, this is a weird. Alternative 1940s, 50s, where cartoon characters are real. You have to be invested in it. Otherwise, the audience isn't invested in
it. It's kind of like when we watched Muppets with Michael Caine. Like, you have to give it your all to commit to it.
Exactly.
To sell it.
Because if you're not invested, then the audience is like, well, if this guy doesn't believe what he's doing, then I don't believe what he's doing.
Cheers, fellas.
What
Cheers.
Is this, by the way, again? It's a whole bunch of shit, basically, right? A bunch of dregs of stuff.
Mm.
Oh, shouldn't have smelled it.
This great little bit where he pops out of the thing with this lockjaw, this Dick You're Tracy lockjaw. Please.
Oh boy.
That was a rough shot.
Yeah.
What was in that?
Good tequila.
Bad tequila. Oh man. Bad tequila. I'm the guy with the gun tequila. I don't think
like
I've had tequila.
Really good tequila and a shot and a half of really bad tequila.
Oh my goodness. I just imagine Bob Hoskins being dragged around by a pair of handcuffs. Some effects in this movie, I'm like, how did they do that? Did they have, like...
I want to see the B-roll from this scene while he's, like, having to act this out. And then there's, like, a dude off camera going, and now he's in the drawer.
Now he's in the drawer. Well, somebody had... There had to be some sort of, like, robotic arm with that holding the other half of the handcuffs.
No, what I think it is like, it's... They're not loose handcuffs. It's, like, a rigid, like...
Oh, okay, so he's holding it up?
He's holding it, just kind of aiming it around. And
gotcha,
shit.
Yeah. There's a gaffe later on, apparently, when they go back to Maroon Studios, where I guess he looked down, or no, he looked up instead of looking down, and they put Roger on his tip, they animated Roger on his tiptoes so that the eye lines would match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so much little detail just put into making sure the animation matches the live action, as opposed to relying on the live action
to
matching where the animation's
going
to be, you know?
Because people subliminally pick up on that.
Mm.
And it's so sad, because then you go on stuff like, have you been on the Grand Fiesta Tour at
Epcot?
Of course.
It's my first stop every day.
Yes. You get a margarita and you go on, go on a boat. There's a scene where the three caballeros go into a restaurant, and there is a two scenes. There is a waiter, and then there is a chef who they're like, excuse me, and they turn around, and the chef has these big knives, and he looks, but he's not looking at either of their eye lines. He's just looking in a general direction.
Look left.
And the waiter, the same thing, and it bugs the hell out of me, because it's just those little details. Smart ass weasel. One of these days you're gonna end up dying laughing.
Fuck you, weasel.
He just hits that water. That water just goes up, and you just don't question it.
Uh-huh.
Where did that fucking fountain of water come from?
Probably some sort of hose.
Look
how much he's moving. Like, where is it?
There's a little hose. Like, I've seen a picture of that. There's a little hose with, like, a little L, like, bend in it that rose up out of the water.
And just dipped back in again when it was done.
Yeah, a lot of things they painted over.
Oh god, my scene's right after your scene. I didn't realize that.
Fuck. Can you do you really want whiskey?
I don't have anything else.
Oh god.
Yeah.
We're Terminal Bar that was also going to be at Hollywood Studios. We could be having a drink, sitting in the Terminal Bar right now, talking about this movie, watching it on an iPad while we record this.
Doing a live episode.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure they'd love that. Getting cunted at Hollywood
Studios. What are you guys doing? Nothing? Nothing? We just have these brightly colored microphones.
Yeah.
And this is where I was first introduced to speakeasy prohibition. This is the bump the lamp scene.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So you watch those shadows, like, bounce off of Roger. It's like a little thing that if this was any other studio, they'd just ignore it. And you'd be like, why is that? Why is there something off about this scene? I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
How long does this movie take to make? I feel like a long fucking time.
Definitely long. I mean... You're looking at a few months to just shoot it, and then a bunch of added months to just animate it, put it all together.
So some monster shoots it, some monster.
Yeah, it's very. It's a very technical time frame.
Equals.
All right.
A few months.
It's a few months. I don't know. I read it earlier, and I just can't think of it right now. I would rather be vague than completely incorrect.
So much work going into this. It boggles the mind. You know what I watched recently?
Looney Tunes back in action?
No, I want to, though, actually, because I've read a little bit more about it, and now it seems like it's kind of a piss take of itself. Mm-hmm. No, I want to see... I saw Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Ah.
There's a lot in that movie that I did not remember.
Yeah.
I
don't think I've actually sat down and seen that
one. Watched the whole thing? Apparently, I hadn't either. There's a lot of fucking dancing around in this, like, market. It takes a long time for them to actually go to the Isle of Nabumbu or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
And play soccer against the animals. Have you not seen the movie?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's surprising. Like, and then they fucking get kidnapped by Nazis at the end. It's
oh, it's like The Sound of Music, but with animation, right?
Yeah, it's The Sound of Music meets Mary. It's The Sound of Mary Poppins, basically. That was an interesting film to watch again. Much longer than I thought it was going to be as well. The kid actors are fucking terrible.
Oh,
and yeah, the animation is that much earlier style of...
It's like, just throw a cartoon character on. Who cares? Yeah. Like, are they looking at it? Whatever.
Well, actually, no. That's unfair. They did the... that was the opposite. Because it was kind of like in Mary Poppins where they put real people into an animation scene. So the vice versa. So kind of like when he goes into his... into Toontown.
Mm-hmm. All right, interesting cutaway here because we're going back to Eddie Valiant's office and he's coming out of the bathroom with his shirt off. And I always wonder, I was like, why is he coming out of the bathroom with his shirt off? And they put in the sound of the flushing.
Mm.
Apparently, there was a whole scene cut out here where the weasels actually kidnap Eddie.
Mm.
And I think they threaten him. And what they do is they put a pig head, an animated pig head, on his head.
Yeah.
It was pretty much mostly animated and shot, and I guess he goes back to the office and washes it off.
That's so weird.
And they cut that whole scene out and just put in
all
just
that hair.
Awkward. they put in that awkward cutaway, and like for the most part, like nobody. It's like, why is he coming out of the bathroom with his tie on but no shirt?
Well, one of my roommates can't poop in.
Unless he has his
bathrooms.
Shirt off?
No, unless he's butt naked. Like, he only poops at home.
Is he that messy?
No, he just... It's like, apparently it's like a mental thing. Like, he has to be butt naked in order to poop. It's like, we went to Horror Nights, and we were literally in the gay for 5 minutes, and he's like, hey, we gotta go home. And I'm like, well, you gotta go home.
I'm not going home.
I walked in, and he literally went back home because he had to take a dump, and then just stayed there.
He can't go in the handicap stall?
Can't go. It has to be at home. Has to be a home poop. And he has to get naked. It is the strangest thing in the world.
And now that's out there for all the world to hear.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't listen to this. I'll make sure he doesn't listen to this.
Speaking of cut scenes, I don't know when it was going to happen. Probably earlier, but there was a whole funeral scene for Marvin Acme. And it was going to feature a lot of different characters. It was going to have Tom and Jerry... Popeye was going to be one of the pallbearers.
Nice.
Foghorn Leghorn was going to do a eulogy, and I guess it's all broken up by Casper rising out of the grave to tell people about something, and of course everybody doesn't listen to what he says and just runs away because he's a ghost. So I don't know why that scene was cut. Probably licensing negotiations or cost overall.
Pacing, I guess.
I don't think it... it didn't note any... None of the things I read, like, it didn't note what exactly happens if, like, Eddie was there talking with somebody to get clues. But speaking of exposition, the whole Cloverfield thing...
Cloverleaf.
Cloverleaf? Oh, yeah. Oh, did I just make this part of the Cloverfield universe?
I did it like 30 minutes ago. But
yeah.
Oh, shit.
I have the Blu-ray of this, and I'm sure there are some deleted scenes on there in actual, like, almost finished form to go and check out. Is this my scene coming up here? Oh, jeez.
Now, these are those fake trolleys, right? The ones that were buses with, like...
Yeah, they were buses dressed up to be trolleys, because the trolley system has been long gone.
What kind of crown is this? Regular crown. Oh God!
Are you sure it's not a Rosen crown? We're in the bar scene where Roger is entertaining the drunken reprobates, listening to the famous...
There's a symmetry in real life here.
Yeah.
As I pour you guys drinks.
The famous merry-go-round go broke down. What? Oh, it's a... Oh, my drink. Thank you. Come on, Roger. Roger says the smartest things in here. It's like, you make somebody laugh, they'll probably be on your side. It's the truth, right, Dave? You make people laugh. Yeah. Yeah. It is a defense mechanism. This is also the movie that everybody learned the shave and haircut 2 bits if they hadn't heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
I still use that as my knock. It's a trademark. I love this bar. It's made up of a lot of different people. There is a dwarf. There is a one-armed man. There is a mute. And there's no real explanation. I think they all work for the Cloverleaf Industries. I know the mute guy was laid off.
If this was Cheers, I would love to like learn each one of their stories.
Everybody knows your name.
It's probably the start of a really bad joke.
Yeah, see, he grabs... I never noticed this. He grabs the sleeve of the one-armed vet.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the one-armed vet and wipes off that chalkboard.
The one-armed black vet.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fucked up. That I love chalk that none sound. Of them like that sound, though.
Nobody does. I don't know anybody who's like, I love that chalk sound.
It's my white noise. Like, I'll use it to fall asleep.
Yeah. I see the rabbit. I want to know what else this guy has done, because I feel like he's one of those guys you've seen. They also have a cowboy. Harvey. Another joke I wouldn't get until much later.
Who's Harvey?
Harvey is based on a play. It's about a gentleman who is super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves him, but he's an eccentric, and he is convinced that there is a giant rabbit who is his best friend. And so all of his family members... go to great lengths to have him over, but not have him introduce Harvey or talk about Harvey. And at the end of the play, they kind of leave the audience thinking, maybe Harvey actually exists? Does he exist? Or is he a figment of his imagination?
No.
You know, or should we question who this guy is, whether or not, I mean, he's a nice guy. Should we just let him be because he's happy, you know?
Now, I haven't seen Donnie Darko, but is that basically Donnie Darko?
I don't know. Because Donnie Darko, the rabbit...
The rabbit was more like an omen and less like a homie.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw on the poster them chilling in a movie theater, so I was like, oh, they must
be
friends.
Are we supposed to take the shot? Did we miss our moment?
No, I'm waiting for the shit to hit the fan. So. Right.
Literally?
Like when they... Because doesn't he have to get him, like, fucking drunk, you know? Or when he's, like, you know, when he's about to get...
Yeah.
Zipped whatever he's like, give the rabbit a drink for his last shot or whatever. Yeah, my wife hates the shaving her haircut 2 bits when people knock on the door.
Really?
So
why?
Thank you very much. No, I don't know what it is. I think it's because her dad knocks on the same. So she insists it's got to be 3 bits in this house.
Gotcha.
So if you knock, it's got to be, you got to finish with 3 taps.
I don't even know, like, what exactly. That's from, like, is it an old vaudeville bit, whatnot? Yeah. I think it's just something that's just been passed down through culture.
Well, 2 bits is money, right?
Yeah.
And that's how much a shave and a haircut cost back in, I don't know, the 1600s.
Is it like we're talking about? I mean, it's not long enough to be a song. Is it from a skit? Is it from, you know, a
Ryan
vaudeville
asking
bit?
The hard hitting questions.
I'm trying. Yeah. I also want to know from that Chip and Dale cartoon, what the heck, the Baltimore, Apple Corps Baltimore thing that they do?
I do not remember that cartoon well enough.
There's a famous cartoon where Donald Duck is an apple farmer, and Chip and Dale are wreaking havoc, and he goes, Apple Corps, and you just hear them going, Baltimore! And he like reaches into the tree to get them, and he goes, Apple Corps, and they go, Baltimore! And apparently nobody has any idea where that started from.
Is Marco Polo like a copyrighted game or something?
I don't know. I don't know. It's in a very similar vein. I think you want a drink, Dave.
I do.
You do.
And I've overfilled mine, so mine's going to get very messy.
Apparently at this point, he
happy
was
trails,
supposed to
boys.
Happy trails, yeah. Christopher Lloyd.
Oh.
Oh man, that was rough.
I don't want to drink the drink.
So at this point, Christopher Lloyd was supposed to pull out a briefcase with a bunch of kangaroos to have a kangaroo court. They were going to hold up letters that said guilty. Another expensive gag that was dropped.
Honestly, though, the phrase kangaroo court, I think, not funny enough to warrant all that work.
Yeah.
Cut the line.
Totally agree. And being 8 years old when this came out, I would not have gotten
it.
It's
another bottle of Wild Turkey. And by the way, it was the only bottle that didn't get smashed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you say Disney didn't want to take a bunch of money from people to slap their names on things, but I'm seeing the opposite here.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was... was that a Bud?
Fucking Budweiser.
I think that was a Bud. But it's a very passing thing.
Now, was
I
that
think it's
real?
Whatever what was available during, you know.
Now, was that a real Budweiser, or was it like the label, or was it we're going to make our same font and the same color scheme? But like you can, like when it looks like it's Coca-Cola, if you look really close,
it's the same font, like Budweiser or something.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch any sitcom and it's like, it looks like the Pepsi logo, but it's like Pepsi, you know, with a T.
And I liked how there you saw fucking Judge Doom just skitting away from the dip.
Because
doesn't matter.
It's a subtle, subtle thing. You don't feed off of it. You just think, oh, he doesn't want to get his shoes wet.
Yeah. Does it do anything to humans or?
No.
It's turpentine.
It's turpentine, just, it's acetone, and benzene is literally paint.
So it's like
thinner.
An irritant, basically. Yeah.
It's a paint thinner.
Yeah.
Just wash your hands.
And here we go. Benny the Cab's introduction. Basically, you had Bob Hoskins on a little go-kart.
That's
like
great.
Putting around L.A.
Why the fuck isn't Benny the Cab an option for everybody's GPS?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be so fucking awesome.
You want to go left, take right, you know?
Because that's why.
Exactly, yeah. He'd be a dick.
There'd be so many accidents.
You know what's funny? Years later, I was surprised to find a Benny the Cab plush doll that talked.
Mm.
And I got it, and that... whoever just programmed it, either they
wanted...
Did he
just scream at you?
No. Whoever programmed it, it was off. Like, the lines he did were just off. He'd be like, if you ever need a ride, you know where to find me. I was like, that's not what he says.
Right.
he says, stick out your thumb.
Dog, I got a Disney Toy Story snow globe when they came out.
Which leave a
fucking Toy Story 2 with Jesse and shit, but whenever you, it's one of those Disney like expensive snow globes where like you wind it and it plays like a song.
Yeah.
You know?
A snow globe and a jewelry box together.
No. It's just like it's a snow globe, but like Toy Story, but whenever you wind it up, it plays You Got a Friend by James Taylor.
Okay.
Instead of You Got a Friend in Me, which is the licensed Toy Story song.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
And they sold like a couple hundred before they realized.
So it was like, it was the manufacturers, like,
they got all
up.
The way to the Disney store. My dad was Streetmosphere at MGM, and somebody set it backstage, like in the dressing room, and him and a handful of the performers headed out, and each bought like three or four.
Oh my goodness, because it was their mess up.
Funny.
You're telling
shit
me nobody
world.
Fucking wound that thing up between the design and the fucking
they
shipping
were
out
all
the warehouse?
Made in China. So, like, the dude of the warehouse is like, you got a friend in me, fuck it. And just kind
of. Some of these things, it's like, yeah, whatever. We'll say yes, whatever. You guys know the Toy Story song. They just expect it.
Yeah.
Other things, I think it's a blatant licensing issue because I remember. I keep going back to McDonald's toys here, but they had a Snoopy toy set a while back, and one was a piano which played the Charlie Brown theme, but it would reverse. So it'd be like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then it would go like under like two key. It would just go all over the place.
Were you winding it the right way?
No. This was like fresh out of the box packaging, like it was off, and you could tell it's like they didn't want to pay Charles Linguadli. They didn't want to pay the composer the monetary rights, so they just like play it off a couple different keys.
Like, close enough, you know what
close
we're going
enough.
For.
You know what we're going for.
Oh, fucking guy. Did he just take out a bottle of Wild Turkey out of his jacket?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Wild Turkey not the official drink of this episode?
Mm-hmm. I don't.
If I'd watched this movie more recently than the last 15 years, I probably would have picked up on it.
That's why I was at the store. I was like, I know he drinks scotch, but there's something else. So I'm like, there's a specific brand.
God damn it.
I probably would have died anyway. So we're at the scene where Eddie Valiant and Roger hide out in a movie theater. They picked a goofy cartoon, because obviously Disney film, but they also picked, I think it was a goofy health cartoon, because it was the zaniest thing that they could find in the vault, because obviously Disney is not known for zany. They're known for weird, elaborate, surreal, like kind of Goldberg-esque, like Mickey leaning out a trailer and like taking corn off corn cobs that are right there and just like throwing it on his foot and him kicking it into, like, they're more known for that sort of thing.
When did this movie come? When's this movie set? Sorry, 1950?
1947, apparently.
When did that goofy cartoon come out? Is it from the
era? Oh, it came out 2 years. I think it came out 2 years after. There were a couple of small instances where there were cartoon characters that had not appeared yet. I guess Wile E. Coyote shows up at one point, and Spielberg insisted that he be included, even though his cartoons like were way after the time period.
Now, if he was playing like a struggling actor or something, that would make sense.
Exactly.
Like, he hadn't got his
big
break yet, you know?
That was actually one of the ideas tossed around for the sequel/prequel for this. I think one of the ideas was Toon Platoon, which would have been like Roger Rabbit in World War scenario, and I think
I don't know how funny you can make that, though, honestly.
Well,
I
mean,
don't think I've seen a funny World War II film.
No, I haven't, but I mean, it all depends on the slant, but I think one of the things was that Spielberg said no to that, and so they were like, well, we'll do a Roger Rabbit rising star, like, he goes to New York, he's on Broadway courting Jessica, he's just a backstage hand, and all of a sudden, like, he trips out on stage when the curtain comes up and a star is born, you know, that whole thing. And nothing that they made ever came to fruition. Spielberg didn't want to deal with Roger Rabbit. Disney didn't want to deal with Spielberg, and they moved on.
I'm still, honestly, my favorite Spielberg story is the George Lucas and him. George Lucas thought that Close Encounters is going to do amazing, and Star Wars wasn't going to do that well. And so Spielberg got a percentage of Star Wars, and George Lucas got a percentage of Close Encounters, and he's still just raking in dough.
There's all those stories, like Will Smith said no to The Matrix, and they, you know, he went to do Wild Wild West, and
They finally got their giant spider in it, though. That's
here's the here's the shot where We got Bob Hoskins looking way too tall, so they put Roger on his tippy toes. So neat. I guess this Maroon Cartoon Studios backlot was actually a Desilu Studios, the Desi Arnaz Lucy Studios. Okay. I think it was multiple other things as well, but I think the facades are whatever the location they use is still there. And this is where we get really dramatic.
This music is absolutely taken back to when Marty McFly is breaking into the principal's office in Back to the Future Part 2.
Well, Robert Zemeckis, ladies and gentlemen. I swear that this I love that poster on the wall, Pistol Packin' Possum. That's definitely something Tex Avery would do. I think this was a movie that made
Dead? He's got X's in his eyes. That usually means they're dead.
passed out, dead.
There's no stars or birds.
So. Yeah, stars and birds means unconscious.
He got hit. It was shown he got hit by a frying pan. That's not going to kill him. He's a tomb.
I mean, in real life,
he'll fall to pieces like everybody else.
I'm like fairly confident that if I'd beat either one of you guys upside the head of the frying pan.
Oh, we'd be dead, yeah.
At minimum, somebody's getting a concussion, and then I'm going to feel horrible for the rest of my life.
Yeah. He was a great guy, and then he hit that guy with a frying pan.
Yeah, now he's a fucking retard. I'm sorry. That's not the preferred nomenclature.
Wait, that poster say wet nurse? It does. Oh, my goodness. I've never noticed that. Uh-huh. I have never noticed that.
Now, do they mean the wet nurse or the wet nurse?
I don't know.
I think it's like he's fishing. Is he called a mermaid or something?
I don't know.
He's getting close.
It's somebody fishing off a dock, and it's
so the nurse is wet. It's not a wet nurse.
It's not a. She's not wet in all the right places. Mm. No.
Oh no, that's what I'm totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Basically, this movie is just it's an animated Chinatown, in essence.
Yeah,
as somebody put it. And when I watched Chinatown, it made sense. You have the end of it's like Jake. It's just Chinatown.
Yeah,
it's like
Eddie. It's Toontown. How many Disney movies do we get where we see a guy get shot? In the back.
Not very many.
No, not enough.
I mean, honestly,
I guess it's Touchstone. Or
if you look at some of the earlier ones, you had Snow White, and they were like, "Go tear her heart out with a knife." Like,
oh, I know. We watched that last week, and we pointed out that the guy,
he tries
for like all of 30 seconds, and then he gives up. Fucks.
Some of the ideas in the earlier ones are brutal. So coming up, we have the entrance to Toontown that they race into, which is an actual location, the Hollywood Hills.
And if you're a Robert Zemeckis fan, you probably remember it.
Yeah, it's also from Back to the Future.
Is that Felix the Cat on the top?
That is Felix the Cat. They could not get the license for an actual Felix the Cat in the movie, but they put that not in. I was disappointed because you can find that entranceway on the way to Griffith Park. Uh-huh. The Griffith Observatory. And it is, I knew, obviously, as an adult, I'm like, well, this obviously doesn't go to Toontown. But I had hoped the tunnel would be at least 500 feet.
Yeah,
5 miles long. It is probably 60 feet. You literally take a left and you're right out of the tunnel immediately. I'm like, who designed this?
So that scene in Back to the Future, that drawn out scene, they had to fucking do like a bunch of takes.
Back and forth.
I feel like they shot the entranceway and then they went to a different tunnel.
I feel like they did. Or it was like when in the 80s movie when a car or something exploded.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my favorite scene coming up right now.
That tunnel is also in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Of course it is.
While I could have picked a lot of funny moments, decided to pick the one poignant moment where it always...
Where he pours
just
away
the score. The score builds up and then it drops out and then he throws that alcohol into...
Not just any alcohol, wild turkey.
Wild turkey, yeah. And then we have the stereotypical Native American bullet come out.
Did he just shoot that bullet and then the doors opened?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a cartoon gun as well.
The car turns the corner and that was it. That's the tunnel right there.
Why don't you share with the class, Brian?
I did. I brought two.
Yeah. Fucking pour them out.
Jesus Christ.
How'd you think this liquor magically appeared in your shot glasses?
There you go.
Now, okay, I'm not going to lie. If I was, like, tripping and, like, all of a sudden this was outside of the car, I'm turning right the fuck back around and going home.
We got all of...
It's like, I don't like that rabbit anyway.
We have all of Mickey Mouse's orphan babies from, like, the 1930s. We got the reluctant dragon. We got three hummingbirds.
What the fuck did we just drink?
God, it's
Deep vodka, Eddie.
I didn't think it would be spicy.
Deep
it's
Eddie
spicy.
Orange.
That was
the worst one.
I'm so sorry.
Carl just poured whatever was in his sink into the glass.
No, man, I actually put a little bit of it. I mean, it's green for a reason.
I am so sorry.
But realistically, mine was the best.
I am so sorry about this.
Oh, man.
I should have just gotten Jack Daniels for that one scene. That would have been better.
We would have hated that even more.
Yeah.
He made me drink vodka. Like, he made me drink Grey Goose last week, and I immediately threw up
fucking
everything.
Fucking made me. You're a big boy.
48 hours. Made? Bruh, that's exactly what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, Droopy.
I loved Droopy.
Oh, God. Didn't we all love Droopy? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a... We all knew that, like, we were going to hate adulthood.
Yeah.
So, like, Droopy was that introduction. It's like, he has that give no fucks attitude.
Did anybody else relate more and more to Eeyore the older you got?
Yes.
Because, like, the older I hated Eeyore when I was a kid, but, like, the older I am now, like, Eeyore, I feel you.
Yeah. He's like, whatever.
Yo, if I would have known, like, there are multiple days where I wake up in the morning and, like, you don't have to voice it because you don't want to be a needy motherfucker, but inside you're like, do I really have to do this? Like, life sucks. The world sucks. Today's going to suck. You know, when I was a kid, I'd wake up and there's, like, breakfast on the table every fucking morning, you know, and my parents are all, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and, like, dressed. If I would have known then that they literally sit there or that they, like, sat there and questioned, like, am I going to kill myself today for at least, like, 45 minutes every morning, I would have been a whole lot nicer.
What's the picture with Eeyore, like, someone standing on Eeyore tying a noose around their neck? Who is it? Is it Pooh or Christopher Robin?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen that.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
I want that,
like,
in an oil painting.
It's
that sounds really sad.
I just know that some days I'm a Eeyore, some days I'm a piglet, like, with my anxiety. Social anxiety. We're at that point where Mickey, Bugs Briar. Don't throw me in that briar patch. Bugs, Bunny, and Eddie Valiant are all on screen at the same time. And, of course, Bugs is a sarcastic asshole and gives Eddie the spare tire. Meow.
This is...
You know, you stinker. No, you're an asshole.
This is not what I meant to pull up. I just Googled Eeyore suicide.
Oh, Eeyore's legs in a kicked over chair. That's sad.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
I'll be right back. I hope I get back before the...
Oh, wait. Are you going to go pee?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
at
sorry.
At least you're not sick. I thought you were going to get sick
no,
out of...
No.
He's sick out of his penis.
No.
Yo, dude, so the other day, I'm at home and I'm cooking, you know, like during the center this week.
Uh-huh.
I was cooking. I made some amazing spicy, like, peanut satay, like, chicken, and that was great. I taught one of my roommates how to make coleslaw from scratch, and that's always ballin' because it's coleslaw.
Yeah.
I've been making some jambalaya with, like, sausage and lobster and scallops and shrimp, and it's been awesome. But the other day I'm cooking, and one of my roommates was just sober, and he goes out, and the neighbor has, like, 140 proof, like, homemade moonshine, and is like, hey, try, like, 3 shots of this. Now, my roommate can drink. I've seen him drink, like, a 24-pack over, like, an afternoon and be still pretty fucking golden at the end of it. Well, he disappears for, like, less than 10 minutes and tries a couple shots of moonshine. He comes back and he's talking like this, and he's really drunk, and I'm cooking, and he's like, oh, I don't remember buying any of these ingredients. And I'm like, that's because when you were sober, you literally saw me leave to go to the grocery store. These are what I just bought. You know, he's like, oh, okay. So he disappears, and he goes to his bedroom. Well, I get a text message from him, and he calls me and the other roommate into his room, and drunkenly from his bed proceeds to yell at us for not turning off the light in his bedroom. This goes on for like 7 to 10 minutes. He's yelling at us for not turning on the light.
Way too long.
Yeah. And me and the other roommate are both looking at each other going, who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him? And I let the other guy tell him that, bro, we never turned the light off in your room because the light's not on. You're literally bitching about the daylight that's shining in around your curtain. And so he's like, oh, okay. He's like, I'm going to take a nap. I'm setting an alarm for 20 minutes. I'll wake up. Nothing for like 5 hours. Yeah. He ends up waking up. He stumbles out of his bedroom. I hear him stumble down the hallway to the bathroom. I think he's about to get sick. He, like you, because Brian's back, got sick out of his penis.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts peeing, and then I hear it flush.
I'm totally not sick, but go
on.
And
then he walks back up the hallway to his bedroom, and as he walks up the hallway, he doesn't even look at it. He just kind of yells sideways over his shoulder, I peed on the floor, and then closes the door to his room behind him. And
just, how do you take that?
He just left this gigantic puddle of piss in the bathroom. So I took a towel.
He went all the way to the bathroom, and then looked at the toilet. Just
he got
like,
out of the bathroom.
No, not
he
today.
He peed in the toilet, also managed to flush, but also peed a puddle onto the floor. So he put a towel on the toilet, closed the bathroom door, and I just didn't use the bathroom until after he woke up sober and hungover.
I guess I'm not peeing for a week.
You know, I thought when I got roommates that were like in their 40s, they'd both be like super responsible.
Nah.
But I realized
we're all just grown kids.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a 31-year-old little boy, and I'm the most responsible one there like 90% of the time when it comes to extracurricular activities.
Ladies and gentlemen,
upon 80s.
Booby trap. Nyack, nyack, wah. Not the strongest joke, but this is where all the exposition and all the setup gags come into play at the end.
With the fucking Frank Sinatra sword.
Oh,
but
my
young
goodness,
Frank.
Yes.
Young, you got fucking Lady Killer Frank. Not,
yeah.
I'm kind of cool with the mob, but not really, even though I want you to think I'm really yeah. cool with the mob. Like, not that, Frank.
I was disappointed when I went to Hollywood that Dutch house wasn't there anymore. I don't know if that was ever actually a thing. That,
oh, okay.
That place, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I would see that before I hit that, but it looks like a facade.
Hollywood's very facade.
Yeah, Hollywood Realty Co.
Yeah.
Even if it was a real house, I don't think that would have lasted past the 90s.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We tried to find the Halloween house,
mm-hmm.
and apparently if you look up the exact address, it's not there because the house was moved.
Like fucking brick by brick? Or
yeah, it was actually moved down the street to the corner, and
I'm
it's a
sure they
office.
Didn't move it fucking one brick at a time.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was like a lay down, some like,
yeah.
some fucking logs.
Just at least
rolling.
the number is completely different. Like you're like 134, 135, 137. What? Mm. Like, and then you go down to the end of the street and it's actually there. It's a dentist's office. It's weird. It's
where no one will ever find it.
Can you guess what this is? I really did love the end of the Backlot tour where you would come around the streets of New York and that dipmobile would be sitting there like spitting out water.
Yeah.
Had the steam, had everything running. It was the full size thing. It's a very iconic vehicle, if not like probably the most absurd thing you've ever seen.
It I totally agree with that. And yes, the Dibmobile, if anyone that grew up, because like I'm born in like 87. So my entire childhood, from like the first time I can remember pop culture, Roger Rabbit had already existed and was already like known to be awesome. You know, like mm-hmm. I never had a moment where I learned about Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit was just there. And as cool as the Dibmobile was, I'm talking like golden age, like backlot tour, when they'd still like take you through costuming department on one yeah. side and active sets on the other.
It was actually like an at like 2 hours.
Yeah, and the graveyard and the streets, you
and
know.
They,
and
the
like,
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids bee. They yeah. would have the kid like hold onto it and they would shoot it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like round about the time that they first added the naval like warfare thing in the pre-show.
Yeah.
You know, and it was Catastrophe Canyon for me all the way as the most recognizable part of that. The moment they got rid of Catastrophe Canyon and put that bullshit CG, I'm going to stand on boats and drop a gigantic bucket of water on people.
Well, I feel like that rocking boat has always been there.
The rocking boat has always been there, but what you did with the rest of the... The moment you started making it CG with fucking Pearl Harbor, like kamikaze pilots.
And here's Michael Bay to talk us through.
Yeah.
Give me the miniature boats. Give me the miniature boats and the air cannons.
Give me the house
the
from Empty Nest and Golden Girls and Ernest Saves Christmas.
And that Alice in Wonderland TV show that I don't remember the title for.
Are you talking about Shelley Duvall's Rock and Rhymeland?
No. Where the TV show where the girl went to Wonderland.
Nobody's talking about Shelley Duvall.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They had that Mother Goose house on the backlot tour. I love that TV movie.
I remember watching that Alice in Wonderland TV show when I was over at... as a kid, like staying in New York for like 2 weeks at a time with my dad on.
Was it a
business.
TV show or was it a miniseries?
It's a Disney Channel TV show, and it was
okay.
Like
was that
every
the one
week.
Where she comes home and everything seems normal except her parents aren't there, and then the Jabberwocky shows up in her living room?
No, this girl literally okay. lives
no,
in
like
she lives in a Florida house yeah. and has like a full length mirror in her bedroom and just walks
every day. She walks into the mirror and she walks into Wonderland, but basically for the purposes of this show, Wonderland is contained to a relatively small stage area, and then at the end,
like a Teletubby episode
yeah. And then at the end of the episode, like everything's fucking like she's learned a lesson or someone's
like
been and she
circus.
Walks off again
yeah
one sound stage one corner
yeah, real
and then
real,
we're gonna stay here for like 10 minutes
real cost productive to exactly. shoot and everything. Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah, because my dad used to come over for like weeks at a time for business, and he used to bring us over.
And then they added the George of the Jungle House to the tour, and mm-hmm. they were so proud of it, and everyone that actually goes on, it's like, we don't give a fuck.
We don't care.
Like, that's not why we're here.
All right, if you guys were one of the weasels, which one would you be?
What's the one that dies first?
I think that's... are you talking about the one in the green?
I don't know. Whichever one dies first, because I'm a massive liability.
Yeah.
a massive liability.
I think I'm definitely crazy, the straight jacket guy sometimes.
The one who can't stop. No, wait, I'm the fat one who can't stop laughing then. They're two
yeah,
different ones,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I can't stop laughing. Yeah.
Don't be the fat one that can't stop laughing. Hey, I'm
I think you'd be the smart ass.
This is totally up
to you might suit the smart ass, the suave fedora him. That's smart ass.
I just
That's
noticed,
crazy.
I just noticed today that y'all got rid of your gigantic SUV.
Yeah.
Where did you get that? How long have you guys been in that black-ass Lincoln?
The one that's not black, you mean?
I'm not saying it is a tan
oh,
car.
Oh, like a black man.
It is
would
very
ride
an
ride
older black man like car.
It's Tara's dad's car, basically. We had it since just after Thanksgiving when I crashed our SUV, basically, on the highway.
It was you.
It was me. Yeah,
I missed that part of the story.
Well,
that is...
you did pick up on it back in December when you first asked about
it. I did?
Yeah.
God.
Was this during your alcoholic phase?
Yeah, totally.
I think you said the exact same thing, actually, when you walked in the door 1 week, just before a big gay date. You were like, whose black-ass car is that in the
clip? It is a very old black man car.
It's a Lincoln. It's a tan, old Lincoln, old-style Lincoln town car, and... It's like, yeah, it's pretty swanky.
The only other dudes that I know, the only other people I know that have driven that exact car were either my grandma or pimps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we have the Funhouse medley, and Bob Hoskins just did a backflip, or his stunt double did.
Oh, yeah.
Look, hidden Mickey, everybody. He's holding three dynamite sticks, or whatever, cannonballs.
Bombs. Says it on the bomb.
Yep. Bomb. Whatever. You get what I'm saying. It's a bowling ball with a candlestick. It's a cartoon bomb.
If you were to make this now, I feel like Angelina Jolie could totally voice Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely could. Apparently,
she'd do motion capture for Jessica Rabbit, because you know Robert Zemeckis would do fucking all Polar Express on that
show.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, she would. As long as Andy Serkis could do the mocap for Roger.
Yeah.
I think that was...
I think one that's the first one to die. I think it's the fat one.
Oh,
I think
the one. Yeah, stupid.
The one who can't stop laughing and he dies first. That's absolutely my weasel.
Stupid. The one with the with the helicopter hat.
Yeah.
There goes that 50-ton weight, which was also at the Looney Bin.
There's a lot of things had to fall into circumstance for that to happen.
Yeah. No, that doesn't rhyme with walls. No, but this does. Boom. We're at that point, ladies and gentlemen.
Where you're so drunk, you're just going to recite the movie.
No. Sometimes you got to remember what we're watching versus if they got synced up. I never noticed the sinister eyes on that dipmobile. Like, you got the red and then the streak marks made it look like an eye. Movies, man. Here goes crazy. He's dead. But then, when he's dead, he's able to manipulate physical objects.
Can Casper do that?
I think he can. Now, but he can still pass through stuff. What were you
saying? Here's my question. Okay, the dipmobile. It sprays the dip out the front, right? And then there are all these brushes.
Yep.
Almost like
car wash?
Like a scrubbing up after the dip that you're dropping, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like the thing that does the ice in a skating rink, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, those brushes are clearly to scrub away the cartoon and the tune and basically all the joy that comes along with these cartoon characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Once you spray the dip and you scrub it, this is meant to just kind of zigzag like a lawnmower through Toontown. Once it scrubs after you spray the dip, what is left? Is it blank paper? Is it all white, or is it regular earth? And if it's regular earth, if it's regular Hollywood, then that means that Toontown took over something. What happened to the whole neighborhood full of people that moved, or did they change them into toons? And this is a moral issue.
Well, technically, Toontown is the Mulholland Falls or Mulholland Drive area. It's Griffith Park. There's nothing up there. It's just the Hollywood Hills. So it really didn't take over anything except a bunch of green and dry
national park,
hills.
Basically.
Yeah.
Toontown's a national park.
So I don't
think.
So
is it going to be grass?
I think I think they were let's just come in and paint over all this. That's at least my thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. It may be bullshit.
If we're going off where the actual tunnel is in relation to everything.
And are we?
I think we are, because I don't think... This was pre...
Because the tunnel might be there, but the house isn't. So how do we know it's that spot?
True, but I don't think the Hollywood sign was there either. Was it yet?
This is your country,
at this
guys.
Point in time in real life?
Yeah. Because I know
I thought it was the Hollywood Land sign.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I don't remember when they started advertising that those apartments or condos or whatever it was supposed to be. And then they just left it. I do know it was Hollyweed for a half minute last year.
Yeah, that was funny as fuck.
My God, his scream when he goes down under this thing is horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chilling as a child. I've seen, we just saw a man get shot in the back, and that puts this, to shame. This guy's screaming. It's
this guy's
horrifying.
Screaming as he goes underneath a steamroller.
Woo! It's God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever
see Ladies and gentlemen, a Disney movie.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, my God.
His face just gets it. Oh, my goodness. And then he just rises up.
Like a slender man.
Yeah.
How do they do that? That's an impressive effect, I gotta say.
Uh-huh. I heard it's...
Well, not this.
No,
this.
Well, not that, but pay no it was attention a stop motion rig, which
that just there? No, yeah. It can't be.
And
that's definitely stop
that's
motion.
That's definitely animation of some sort, or like an optical effect.
That's a stop motion effect.
Yeah,
definitely. That's a clay fucking yeah. thing.
But I think the initial thing was some sort of stop motion rig.
It must be some. I want to say fucking hydraulic or something.
And here we go with that high pitched.
This is what
voice.
This is what I've been fearing for the last 15 years.
Oh, remember me,
I really
David?
Did not to be. Really didn't when want to be I, super drunk seeing this again.
When we watched this movie. I talk like this. Boing.
Oh my god!
Look at that hair. Even the hair's iconic.
Yeah, that's really clowny hair.
Mm.
Like. That hairstyle just coming from the top of your head is standard in any Cirque show. It should never be worn in real life by an actual person. It's like a pineapple.
Christopher Lloyd always, as a kid, he really disappeared into these fucking roles. Like,
yeah.
Because at around the same sort of age, I would watch this and Back to the Future and Adam's Family.
Adam's Family, yep.
And I'd be like, I'd be amazed that it was the same person each time.
Yeah,
and I see it more now. Like, but he
and then he went
so
on
different.
To do finer fan like R.L. Stine's The Haunted Lighthouse at Busch Gardens.
He's a national treasure. He can do what he goddamn wants.
I know. He's just like Jeff Goldblum. It's like he's at that point in his career where it's like, I've done all the iconic stuff. I can do whatever I want.
Now have fun. I saw him and Marty McFly show up as
the
Doc.
Oscars and shit? Or was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever show they were on where they showed up as Doc and Marty, when they showed up, I'm thinking, you know, I wanted this my whole life, but guys, you don't have to do this.
You don't have to do this.
He was struggling with his lines.
Yeah.
And he's older, you know?
Yeah, I know.
He's older than Michael J.
He'll
Fox.
He'll do Doc
is...
Brown for, like, he did Doc Brown for a corporate video. He did Doc Brown for...
the Lego Dimensions video game.
The DirecTV.
Yeah, those ads. Yeah.
Why is he just dropping straight down like that one dude in the volcano? Why hasn't he fallen backwards at any time?
Because he's just like... It's a Wicked Witch of the West allegory. That's why he's yelling, "I'm melting." It's a Wizard of Oz reference.
I only use the word allegory when we're talking about movies with the Jesus allegory lion. You know.
The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yeah, dude, that's totally Jesus.
That's why I can't watch that movie. Somebody pointed that out. I was like, nope.
Why? Are you super religious?
No, it's weird because I'll watch like... Indiana Jones, which has a lot of religious allegory, but
wait,
for some reason,
religious?
I'm not. Grew up religious, and then I'm not. And here comes the train with a murder in every single window. Goodbye. Flowers and trees. Disney.
Wait. There is a murder in every single window?
Yeah, there's a murder in every single window. If you were to go back and pause it,
oh,
that
you know
train.
We're going back and pausing it.
Yeah, dude.
I can't believe you guys didn't know that. That's
did I mention that the last time I saw this movie was 15 years ago?
Yeah, true.
I was pretty sure.
There's some things I'm like, I look up and I research and like I read about and I figure, oh, these are just common facts.
Yeah,
that,
who didn't know this?
That, yeah, like
you look at IMDb
know?
And it's like 650 people out of 654 found this interesting. And like, what, you guys didn't know that already?
You guys didn't know that already? And there's other things like I find out where I'm like, oh, I had no idea. And everyone's like, we've known that for like 20 years. I'm like, okay.
That's how I feel right now. Thanks, Brian.
Sister Mary Frances. Okay, what expletive is he standing in for? I mean, Mary Frances seems like it would be motherfucker. Yeah.
I just know here comes like a large influx of cartoon characters at the very last moment. Apparently, Bill Farmer, who had not taken over voicing duties of Goofy yet, came in and was doing the voice of Goofy for this.
Is Goofy actually in the scene? I was going to say.
Yeah, like, he comes out.
I was wondering if he...
Or if he doesn't, if he doesn't do it, the specific voice, he sings him for the song at the end.
Okay. Are they all kind of... I like how there's like a Crips and Bloods thing going on. Like, you got the DC,
you got
the Disney,
you got the Warner Brothers, you got...
Nobody gives a shit about Woody Woodpecker, though. Yeah. Like, literally...
You got some Walter Lantz characters thrown in there.
Yeah.
I feel like the only people that care about Woody Woodpecker actually live in this town, and
yeah,
literally only
no,
care
actually,
Woody
town,
or Woody at the park.
No, actually, I work at a local theme park.
Uh-huh.
I will say that, and I do know that people have come around and asked for Woody Woodpecker, and you would think that it's only older people.
But how many times a year does that happen?
It actually happened a couple weeks ago. I will not lie. And it was younger people, and they were like, "Where's Woody Woodpecker?" And I'm like, how do you know
it? If it's younger people, it's because they're wanting to take a... It's so they can post on Instagram with, like,
who is this guy? Who is this bird?
No, they want to make a fucking Woody joke, like, you know.
Yeah.
Wood, Woody, Wood, Pecker.
They like, could ask a couple times a year, but when you factor that into the amount of people that actually show up to that theme park every year, that might be one of the most that and Curious George might be currently one of the most unpopular characters at the park. Maybe even E.T.
Wait. Is Eddie gonna get mad?
Punch the rabbit. Punch
Deck
the
him
rabbit.
In the face.
Does this answer your question?
First gay romance in a Disney movie.
Yeah. I was working the Christmas Day parade filming at Magic Kingdom years ago, and we did this dance, and we did like these three or four dance numbers, and then we disappear, and all of a sudden all these cheerleaders from across the country come like running down the street. Well, Roger Rabbit was one of the like costume characters there in the park, and he's like barely out, you know, like ever. And the costume characters are running behind the cheerleaders. Well, the costume characters ran behind the cheerleaders, and apparently one of the cheerleaders turned around during filming. Once they like got to their assigned space and stopped, and we had to go to the next take, the cheerleader turns around, sees Roger Rabbit, and decks him so hard his face turns like over 90 degrees.
Oh.
Like his head just like the snaps on the neck like went away, like it just rotates.
Oh,
oh my God.
It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
It was that was Roger Rabbit. Actually, the movie just closed out with the that pivotal
use your words,
Porky Pig.
Use your words. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to use my words.
Just
Porky
like Porky Pig. Yeah.
The funny thing was, when this movie was first screened, Porky Pig did close it out, but there was no Tinkerbell at the end.
Mm.
And the execs were like, wait a second, you're going to open with the Warner Brothers music with the Roger Rabbit zany Warner Brothers style cartoon, and then you're going to close out with Porky Pig?
Yeah.
No. So they went back in and reanimated it with Tinkerbell flying in at the last moment, just to remind you, hey,
it's like, get the last word
this
in.
Is a Disney cartoon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you ever read the book, since I just saw that on there? We didn't talk a fucking moment about that. Same guy that did the music for Back to the Future as well, obviously, Alan Silvestri.
You're talking about the Gary Wolf book?
Yeah, the Gary Wolf
book. Who censored Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, never
No,
read
I
it.
Did not. I know it's drastically different. Mm. I know that there's
Is
a
it
lot
darker?
Of... I don't know if it's darker, but I know there's a lot of differences. There's no Benny the Cab. It's Benny the Beetle.
Okay.
There's a whole side plot about how cartoon characters create doubles who do their stunts for them.
Ooh. Okay.
And I don't know about the whole subplot, but they obviously cut that out because that's a lot of exposition and whatnot. I'm not sure. Jessica is definitely in there, but she was based more on Tex Avery cartoons and whatnot, and they made this sort of like an amalgam of different cartoon influences.
Samel was Tweety Bird, Bugs, Daffy.
And Frank Sinatra is actually the singing sword.
Yeah.
Huh.
And Sylvester is Mel Blanc, and Porky Pig is Mel Blanc.
There's a lot of Mel Blanc in there, yeah.
Mel Blanc is a fucking workhorse, like Frank Oz. Like, that motherfucker puts in like 300% every time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This was, I think, one of the last voice acting gigs that Mel Blanc did.
Mm. That's really sad.
Yeah. He was 70 at the time, like I said earlier, and I think he passed away just a year after this movie was released. It's weird how that happens, like serendipitously. Like, somebody will make their last film appearance or their last project will come out and then they'll pass away like soon after. I think the same thing happened with the guy who did the voice of George Jetson after the Jetson movie came out and numerous other things.
Well, that was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I actually had a lot of fun watching it, even though I did miss a great deal of it, and I do want to go back and watch that film for all the details, but paid enough attention to pick up on a lot of the stuff that I'd forgotten as a kid.
Yeah.
It's a solid film. I love it so much.
I think it's one of those things that's like, you don't realize how much you little bits and pieces you've carried with you until you actually like rewatch it.
Yeah, as a kid, you think of it and you're like, this is a really fun movie to watch. And as an adult, you're like, this is a really good film.
Yeah.
You know, so well done. There's a lot of love put into the craft of making this, and it shows. Final thoughts on the movie before we wrap up?
It's way better than Space Jam.
Yeah. Definitely way better than Space Jam. Way better written than Space Jam. Way better acted than Space Jam.
They didn't even act in Space. We used the word acted here very loosely.
Well, it's funny. When Space Jam came out, people remarked that, you know, Michael Jordan has a charm and that carries it. But when you really sit down and watch it, you're like, he's just being him, and it's
John
not
Cena seems fun, but I don't expect him to hold down any movie whatsoever.
Oh wait, not even Ferdinand the Bull?
Bro, I watched Ferdinand, and you know what held it together for me? The fucking goat.
The Kate McKinnon voice goat?
Yeah, the goat held it together for me.
I thought you were going to say the weed that you said.
I mean, definitely that made it actually standable. But yeah, it was the Kate McKinnon goat that had me. She's, you know, surprisingly, she's kind of attractive in the Ghostbusters movie.
I thought we were gonna get another,
and I was like, there's another
like,
fucking animated
Lola
character.
What else do we have?
The goat.
Yeah. The goat.
You know
the
what?
Goat from Ferdinand.
I'd fuck that goat. That's what I thought you were about to say.
I would totally fuck Lola Bunny though. That's not even a joke or an exaggeration.
You know, you have no chance with Kate McKinnon though.
Oh yeah, but nerdy Kate McKinnon from Ghostbusters, bruh. I could land that shit so hard. So hard. Kate McKinnon, if you're out there.
Oh, she's out there. She's staying far away from this.
Yeah. I don't know if she's listening to, like, third-party podcasts.
No. We have, like, two people. Actually, I'm sorry, five. And, like, four of those five are in the Middle East somewhere. Hi, guys.
What's up? How's it going? Can you guys get us tickets to Motion Gate? Because I really want to go out there.
Should we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, dude, it was fun. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Let's bring this flight in for a creaky landing. Okay. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got around to doing this. Now the big debate is, what do we watch next time? Mary Poppins or Looney Tunes Back in Action?
Looney Tunes Back in Action. Oh, I will come back for that. We can talk about how it's half Space Jam, half, I don't know, it's
half
a weird,
terrible idea.
Yeah. Half a terrible idea, half kind of maybe good? I don't know. There's a couple of like redeeming scenes in there.
If we're watching Looney Tunes Back in Action, you got to give me like a little bit to develop like a heroin problem.
Can you do the entire commentary as Steve Martin's Acme villain character?
Oh yeah, sure. I don't even give a fuck. I'm totally down. I just have some heroin on hand because it's a horrible. It's like the Taliban. It's like what's the Creed. The Creed quote that the Taliban, man, the Taliban's the worst, but they make really good heroin. Like, that's, if we can just manage that, then I can manage Back in Action. Once again, thank you for having me, Dave.
Are you asking for heroin?
No, I'm just saying, I'm not asking for anything.
2 minutes ago, you said there are already listers are in the Middle East.
I'm just warning you. Okay. I'm just warning you. I'll bring a listener from the Middle East.
We'll get you back on the smack. It's fine.
Some heroin. Yeah, it'll all around be a very productive day.
I just want Motion Gate Dubai tickets.
Yeah, dude. I don't know if you've been to Dubai or Bahrain. Bahrain, bro, the gold's so cheap. I'm sorry. I'm rambling. Continue. Thank you for having us, Dave.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Until next time, my name is Dave Mosley.
My name is Carl Skeens.
And I'm Brian Byman.
Thank you for joining us for our Big Gay Date. We'll see you next time. Good night.